Good morning, evening. Don't know when you're watching this, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD. This is the final of our 2021-2022 preseason podcast. It's our preseason bracketology show. First of all, I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Off to my side, we got John Tytel. Diagonally from me, we've got David Griggs. Rocco Miller from bracketeer.org is supposed to be joining us. He may be jumping in here in a few minutes.
I guess he had better things to do.
Right below me, that is not Rocco. We have a new panelist here on the show tonight, David Dorman. So since you are new to the show, I figured it's been a minute here. David, you want to tell everybody who you are and a little bit about your basketball knowledge and background, and welcome to the show as well.
Thank you, guys. Absolute thrill. Really excited to be here. Yes, my name is David Dorman. I was born and raised in the Chicagoland area. Went to college in Tucson at the University of Arizona. My senior year was 97 when we won the title. Very exciting. Great run. Moved back to Chicago after school. I am in the futures and commodities world for my real job. College basketball is just my fun job. My dad used to take me to the DePaul Blue Demons basketball games in the Chicagoland area in the early 80s. And that's when I absolutely fell in love with the sport and the energy and the passion, and just couldn't get enough. And from then on, I've been filling out brackets and making my own rankings and just doing stuff that only I would ever see. And so it's really great to be here and with you guys, a huge fan of your website and podcast. So absolute thrill. Thank you guys very much.
Well, thank you for joining us. And first of all, I got to say, now that we have two Arizona alums with you and Tytel, the only thing we should do is, I guess, is we got to have some type of, maybe a celebrity death match, to knock off one of you and figure out who stays. No, is that not that way it works?
I was thrown out of Arizona.
Thrown out of every state. This is our preseason bracketology podcast, though. Just to let you know what we've done here is we've been doing all of our preseason previews. They're way up there at the top of the website. You can click the season preview tab to watch any of them. The Under the Radar show we recorded earlier this week went through 22 of the smaller conferences. What I've done is using some of the information I gained and put together from being on those podcasts and hosting them and put together my own field of 68, ranked the teams 1 through 68, bracketed it up. And what we're going to be doing today is revealing that bracket, kind of an NCAA tournament selection committee style. For I'll reveal the teams, and our panel here is going to have their chance to rip me apart and say everything that I did wrong. By the way, Rocco Miller, I believe, has jumped on. So
Rocket Miller's here. Rocketeer.org.
We're not going back to that. Yes. I also have to say, though, by putting together this bracket, when I do brackets during the regular season, maybe starting around January normally, and I actually do a lot of work when I put them together. I'll come through with lists of teams. I'll compare resumes, use our worksheets, use our team sheets that we use on the workbook on the show here, and really look in depth at who people have played, who they've beaten. That kind of didn't quite work. I think I can kind of start this whole thing off here by showing everybody why that didn't work, because one of your favorite things, Mr. Griggs, is the blind resume. And I decided, why not start with the blind resume for tonight?
It's a pretty even heat there. I really like that one on the right. They're going to play a lot more road games.
The one on the right is going to have to play a lot more road games. You're right here. And so as we can see, as revealed teams, Gonzaga and Mississippi Valley State are dead even right now.
Yeah, they are.
Technically. So that's where we are. So that's why this is all pretty much guesswork here. But let's get right into it. Let's actually bring the bracket up here. This is the blank bracket. I'm going to do is reveal the first 16 teams in order, one at a time. Then we'll go one seed row at a time until the end. We'll also show teams that I considered but didn't put in. I guess we just start things off, though, huh? Number one team overall, I got the Gonzaga Bulldogs.
You are out on a limb there,
Tytel. Wow. Let me start with you. Any argument at this point that I got that wrong?
Not at this point. I mean, they have the preseason player of the year in Drew Timmy. They have the number one incoming freshman in Chet Holmgren, as well as other contributors, both veteran and rookie alike. They will be without Coach Few, so there's a chance they could stub their toe early. But based on last year's performance and who they bring back, I think this is a solid pick, Chad.
Yeah, I think they'll still be okay in that Dixie State opener as well. Just a hunch, I think.
Yeah, it's still a transitional team. How long is Few out? I should know that, but don't.
I thought three or six just, games.
I think I think it's down to just the Dixie State game now, so he'll be back for Texas.
Okay.
They've actually scheduled two exhibition games that counted towards the three games. So there you go.
That's how you do it. Anyway, they've won 30 or more games 5 years in a row. I don't know if that's ever been done before. And to be fair, those great UCLA teams in the 60s and 70s, it was a little bit of a shorter season, but that is remarkable. I think they're going to win more than 30 again. And you only play 31 in the regular season. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, a couple conference tournament games, obviously, instead of late tournament beyond that. Dorman, let me bring in here as I reveal my number two team. This is where we may have controversy already. I got Michigan number two overall because I projected them as the Big Ten champions, and that's how strong I think the Big Ten is this year.
I'm right with you, Chad. Okay. Michigan's absolutely loaded. Dickinson's going to be great. They got some – I know they got Arizona on the schedule this year. They got some out-of-conference tests that – we'll get them ready for the Big Ten, but I have no disagreement. Michigan is absolutely loaded. I love what Juwan Howard's doing there. No problem with me.
All right. No controversy on the two line. Rocco, why don't I ask you about the number three team then? Could get some controversy with UCLA there?
I think so. Maybe. I mean, I don't think everybody will agree. I've got UCLA as a two seed to start the year. Again, I can see this looking at UCLA's entire roster. Despite having a couple of the younger guys out for this year, they're completely loaded when you factor in Peyton Watson coming on board, five-star All-American, and of course, Miles Johnson from your Rutgers team there, Chad. On top of everybody back, it's an embarrassment of riches to a degree, kind of like Gonzaga last year. But unfortunately for UCLA, they don't play in the WCC. They got to play in the Pac-12. They're going to hit some bumps along the way. Last year, as a perfect example, you could look at their Pac-12 tournament heartbreak, their last few games of the regular season, all heartbreaking losses. All those fortunes changed in the Indianapolis bubble. So I do think they're going to have a lot of close games still this year, but I do think they'll win the league. I just don't think they can get to the one line based on all the tests they got to pass.
I'll tell you, I was thinking more of that with the Pac-12, I think they're going to pile up so many conference wins that's how they get to the one line. But sorry, Dave. Well, Griggs, well, go ahead.
I mean, this is a team, while they were in the Final Four, they were also in the first four. And while I think they're certainly better than the first four, they were a team that barely got in. And are we sort of weighing the four or five NCAA tournament games that they played a little too much and then the 20 or so that they played before that a little too little? I mean, I think they're good. I think that they're protected seed, maybe even top 10, but I don't know if they're going to end up on the one line.
Okay, fair enough.
Especially since you think they will.
Okay. Let me just circle right back to Titel. I'm definitely going to get some controversy on my number four overall team. I like my Big 12 champions, and that's the Longhorns.
Oh, my God.
Well, I think that this is a little high. I would love to see them in San Antonio, and I'm sure that they'd love to be there as well. But they just lost, their entire front court to pro basketball. So while the guard play is as good as anybody in the country, arguably, I think there's just too little up front. It's early. We'll see. But I think they just lost too much at this point.
I'll tell you what, Dorman, let me ask you about them as well. I think I have a bias towards two things, head coaching and guard play. And Texas knocks it out of the park for me on both those categories.
I agree with you. And I'm going to give you another team that I love, the coaching and the guard play. I had Villanova in that spot. I absolutely love Jay Wright. And Gillespie, I'm hearing, is coming back and looking strong. And hopefully he'll be close to 100% in a few months. So I had Villanova in that spot on the last spot in the one line. But I have no problem with Texas because I agree with you. The guards are great. Question up front.
I'll tell you, my issue with Villanova was kind of when you look at it, Texas, if they win the Big 12 conference, that's a lot more for me, especially this year, than winning what I think is a down Big East conference this year. So those are the various things that I'm looking at when I'm trying to figure this stuff out.
They're going to have to win. I'm with you. If they can win the Big 12 or go for the double, they're certainly going to be in the discussion, but can they?
Greg, let me stick with you. I did not actually have Villanova your number five overall. I went the other Big Ten team that I absolutely love, and that's Purdue.
I like them too. I thought that I was gonna. They were gonna fall somewhere on my two or three line, like all that talent they have back. And again, I think the last that we saw from them was the loss in the NCAA tournament, and they're sort of being overlooked a little bit because of that. Obviously, not by you, but. I don't have them this high, but I thought I had them higher than most people. And then you have them as the top number two seed. It's not out of the question. Because essentially they were a protected seed that returns all of their key pieces and then adds to more on top of that. They are freaking good.
Rocco, did you think people are overlooking this Purdue team? Cause that's kind of why I put them this high. I think we are. I agree with Briggs.
I'm sure there are people overlooking them. I've seen a lot of people anywhere from two in the nation all the way down to probably 10. So they're clearly a top 10 team. And I get the reasons to put them all the way up at number two overall and all the way down to 10. To me, I think there's 10 teams in the first tier. All five of these teams are clearly in that. Purdue's got a ton of incredible freshmen coming back for their sophomore years. You know, we talk a lot in the different shows about that freshman to sophomore development jump. They're going to totally own the paint with Edie and Williams. It's going to be a matchup nightmare for a ton of teams, including Big Ten teams. So, you know, you got to comparing them against other teams, they certainly, I think, belong in the top five. So I'm good with it.
All right. Chad, I have a question that we all know the answer to, but maybe our audience doesn't. Why the hell didn't you send them to Chicago?
Why didn't I not send them to Chicago? Because Michigan is already in that Midwest region. Can't have two teams with the same conference. That's why they went to San Antonio. You may have noticed that on the one line, UCLA, the number three overall team, it would be close for them to go to San Antonio. I just thought it made so much more sense if they're going to travel a huge distance anyhow to send Texas to the South region at the number four. I don't know if the real committee would do that or not, but that's, you know, that was kind of a discretionary call I made up there if you're into that. But Tytel, we already mentioned Villanova a little bit. I do have them at number six overall in the East region, playing in Philly. So I really gave a little bit of an FU to UCLA here on this one.
You should rename them FUCLA. No, I think that number one, I hope to be in attendance for that those games in Philly. So I hope that you're right, because that would be an amazing ton of local support they'd get. I like the matchup in terms of that'd be a fun matchup to see the Wildcats and the Bruins, just because like UCLA brings back everybody from the Final Four team, and Villanova with a healthy Gillespie, I think, could have made it last year, and this is his last chance. So I like this team a lot, and I think that that's a good, I think the two line is right for the Cats.
Yeah. And it's my understanding right now that Villanova can play in Philly because Penn is the host. And I think that that they do not have, you know, enough games at the Wells Fargo Center to knock it out. I could be wrong on that. Rocco, am I right that they can play in Philly? I'm pretty certain they're only playing three games at the Wells Fargo Center, which would allow them to play those games.
Yeah, as long as it's three or less, that's the rule. Yeah. I haven't looked into it, but I trust you.
Right. I've got their schedule up right now. I'm seeing exactly three Wells Fargo Center games.
I am certain that they scheduled knowing that they couldn't couldn't play more than three. Typically play more than that, but they're not this year. They'll be at the Pavilion a lot. To answer your other question, Chad, and I hate backing up the decisions you've made, that is what the committee would do, because if they can keep teams, the more teams, they're going to keep the most teams as possible within 400 miles.
Right.
Yes. So making one team travel further to keep another team within 400 miles is something they would do.
Okay. Dorman, let me go back to you as I go to number seven overall. That is the team right there, the Midwest, in the farewell tour for Coach K, my ACC champion as well.
They're young, they're talented. That'd be a great game. Michigan, Duke. They have the talent to be on that two line. We will see how the ACC plays out. Carolina might have something to say, but they would love to be going to Greenville for that first weekend, right close to their campus, not too far away. I didn't have them this high as you did, Chad, but I had them on the three line. But at this point, I can't really argue with you.
Yeah, I mean, I just had to get an ACC team here on the two line, and I'm picking them to win the conference. So that's how I get them there, pretty much. It's, Rocco, let me go back to you and finish off the two line. I got the Jayhawks there.
Yeah, I mean, I have the Jayhawks penciled in as a one seed, so a little bit of a dip, probably lower than most there, Chad. But again, you know, we've got the situation now with Jalen Wilson getting a DUI. He's going to be out for a little bit. I think he got a 3 or 4 game suspension. They had one of the most head-scratching finishes to a season ever under Bill Self when they got obliterated by USC in the second round. I get that they brought in Remy Martin and Joe Yosefu on top of getting Lightfoot back and McCormick and a really talented deep team. So they should return back to the top, but yeah, I don't think there's really a guarantee of that. So two seeds, pretty realistic as well.
Tytel, let me start off the three line with you at my number 9 overall team. I got my SEC champion Nate Oates' Crimson Tide.
I like it. They bring in a very hotshot freshman class, and you keep them in the southern area in Greenville to start. And man, that Duke Alabama game—that'd be a lot of good freshmen in that game. That could be a good one.
Yeah. Dorman, let me go back to you. And right after Alabama at number 10 overall here, also on that three line. I've got my other ACC team that I have right up there, which is Florida State.
Losing a lot of talent again to the NBA, Florida State, but that's every year. I had North Carolina right now ahead of Florida State, but we'll see how it plays out. But Florida State, like always, long, athletic, and talented.
Yeah. Rocco, are you there too on Florida State, or should I have got North Carolina if I was going to do another ACC team?
Yeah, I think you're too early on both ACC teams personally. Okay. If you look at last year, the highest team on the seed list from the ACC was number 14, Virginia. You've already got two in the top 10. I think the league's going to be more similar to last year, but we'll see. Obviously, if it's going to happen, it's going to be probably because of these two taking an additional leap than what we saw last year. Florida State, you know, like David said, is – I was listening to an interview yesterday with Coach Hamilton. He said it's the longest team he's had. I'm like, how is that possible? Like the last 3 or 4 years have been incredibly long, matchup nightmares. They're one of the teams I love to pick in the bracket when they get into the 4 or 5 seed range. Look what they did to Colorado last year. I mean, that was just an embarrassment. So I think they're going to be awesome in the tournament. I just don't know, with all the pieces they're trying to mix in, if they'll get as high as a 3 seed by the end. We'll see.
I may have overrated the letters ACC, quite honestly, looking back on it now. Yeah.
I'm actually with you on this Florida State team. I know that they have a lot of new pieces, but these guys, they've got guys this year that can tie their shoes without even bending over. They're so long. And something about Florida State that most people probably won't realize, they've been a protected seed every year since 2017, except once. And the one year they weren't, they almost made the Final Four. Like, you don't really think of them as being a basketball blue blood, but like, that is a long run of protected seeds and elite eights.
They're no longer football school, so they got to do something, right?
Right.
John, let me go back to you. I got number 11 overall. I do have our defending national champions in here, Baylor Bears.
So, again, they were the champs last year, but they lost their All-American caliber backcourt in Davion Mitchell and Jared Butler to the NBA. Their hotshot incoming freshman Langston Love out for the year with, I believe, ACL tear. They got plenty of talent, and obviously you have to love Scott Drew these days. But I'm worried this might be a little high. I like that they have a chance to grow into it because I think it's going to take a little bit of time to get the chemistry right down in Waco. But I think this might be a little high only because they have so many pieces gone.
Okay, fair enough. Finishing off the three line, Rocco, there's Kentucky.
Yeah, Kentucky, I would put them as a top 10 team. So three line is actually where I'm going to have them too. They're towards the back of the top 10 for me. This is going to be, like we talked about on the SEC preview show, a whole different experience for Cal to have so many older players dependent on transfers like Kellen Grady to lead, and a mix of Ty Washington, who is then in the next line of great Kentucky freshman. I think he's going to be the real deal. I think it's going to be a nice combination for Cal because they'll probably not stub their toe as many times early on like we're used to seeing, and that should get them a higher seed by the time we get to Selection Sunday.
I've been yelling at a little bit so far. I probably start getting yelled at more and more as we go further on here. Dorman, let me ask you here. Number 13 overall, as we start off my four line. There they are. It's the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, I had them ahead of Kentucky and ahead of Baylor. Baylor loses a lot of talent, a lot of guys there from the top six, seven rotation there. So I had Oregon ahead of Baylor. I have Oregon ahead of Baylor and Kentucky right now. Oregon just, to me, the coaching with Dana Altman, and again, someone made a point about UCLA collecting wins. Oregon's been going to be right there collecting wins out west in that PAC conference because it is not great again, and they're going to be scooping up wins left and right. So I think they'll be a three when it all comes said, when it's all said and done.
Okay, a three seed. So I just barely missed then.
I'm right.
Griggs, how about the Illini on the four line?
I'm a big fan of theirs this year. I think that I wish I could be disagreeing with you, but I think this is about where they belong. They're real athletic. They were really good last year. A lot of people forget because they lost so early in the tournament. They finished the regular season ranked number two. It wasn't Baylor. It was Illinois. And I think were they the second team on the seed list? I think they were actually ahead. No, they weren't. They were third, but I guess to my point, they were really good last year. And while they don't return everything, I think they return enough to be a protected seed.
Tytel, how about my next four seed? How about Tennessee? Can I get yelled at for that?
No veto. I like this spot for them. I heard that Fulkerson is still working his way back after getting punched in the face last spring. And they have a hotshot freshman in Brandon Huntley Hartfield. And they had a nice young core last year who's going to keep growing. They do miss guys like Eve Pons this year, I think. But no, I think Rick Barnes has a lot of talent down in Tennessee.
Okay. Rocco, I got to go to you. And I think you know exactly what team is going to show up here based on what we did in our A-10 preview show. There's the Bonnies on the four
in
line.
Buffalo.
I told you, I think that this is a top 16 team. Got them in Buffalo on top of that. What do you think? Do you think they can get there?
They need everything to work out, to be honest. Everything's got to fall into place. It's got to be not quite what Dayton did 2 years ago, but it's got to be really damn close to that. Because once you drop a couple games on top of what Dayton had 2 years ago, you're slipping from a one or two all the way down to like a seven or an eight, as the data shows. Just being in the A-10, it's going to be like the eighth or ninth best league. Those are tough games to win on the road in the A-10. If you get a gaudy record, like 17-3, 18-2 even, maybe one of those losses is to like Davidson or Rhode Island, you know, something that's just not going to carry a lot of water at the end. So anyway, I would love to see it, of course, but I got them 13 spots below this.
13 spots below it. Okay, you got way lower.
This is my thing with St. Bonaventure, and it's one of those teams that I think might be kind of hard to read because – and we see this especially with these what have we called them? The regular multi-bid league teams. This is their first, you know, Siena, Canisius, neutral against Boise State. Northern Iowa's pretty good. Coppin State, Buffalo, Loyola. They have UConn and Virginia Tech on a neutral floor. If they get through that run and they only have, like, with two or fewer losses, they might not lose again for the rest of the year. And they're ranked in the 20s now on the court. Ability-wise, that's probably realistically about what they are. But this is a team that's going to be ranked probably sixth, seventh in the top 10 by the end of the year. if for no other reason, that's just kind of how the rankings work. They just sort of win and win and win and move up as everybody else, plays better teams in front of them and loses. How do you see the team that's ranked seventh, but like might actually be 22nd or 23rd in reality?
Well, I hate to go against my argument for the Bonnies, but I think the answer to that is you could ask the College Football Playoff Committee, who just put the number two team in the nation at number six overall with almost no shot at making the playoff in their first release. So,
the Bonnies have a shot at making the play.
Yes. I'll tell you what, we've got our top 16 teams here. I'm going to ask a couple of you. John, let me start with you. Anybody that you think I glaringly omitted at this point?
Glaringly is a strong word. I'm a little curious that the Buckeyes didn't make the cut only because, like, they bring back a lot of talent and stuff. And they just announced, actually, for next year, I think they're bringing in a top 25 recruit, like the best in the Chris Holtmann era. But I can't say glaringly. I can't say that, like, Ohio State is, like, much better than Baylor or the Bonnies or anything.
Dorman, how about you? Anybody that you're really missing here?
There was two schools I was going to bring up. One, Ohio State, when they get healthy, one of their premier guys will be back, I believe, in 4 to 6 weeks. So I have Ohio State with potential to be on that top 3-4 line. And Houston, I think Houston out of the American will rack up a lot of wins and have something to say about protected seeds. And just to the St. Bonaventure point with everything you said, I'm a huge fan of the A-10, but this is not probably their best year. I see VCU being solid. I see Richmond being solid, but not the usual greatness of the A-10.
All right, fair enough. Rocco, I'm going to bring up my five lines. These are my four teams that just missed that, including the two teams we just discussed, Houston and Ohio State. The other two teams I threw in there were Virginia and UConn.
Awesome. That's perfect.
Okay. Let's go. Everyone go home. We're done.
just like Dorman said, Houston and Ohio State were the two you had missing, so here they are. And then my next two, 19 and 20, Virginia and UConn. So we're golden.
We're golden here. All right. I'll tell you what, let's just skip right to the sixth line that Griggs, let me bring you back in. Here's the sixth line. All four of these teams are going to show up. I got San Diego State, my Mountain West champion. I got Memphis, North Carolina, and Auburn. The Memphis team, we've discussed it on the American preview.
Yeah.
It could be a three seed. It could be out of the tournament. I think I kind of compromised by making them somewhere in the middle here.
Yeah. I like the San Diego State pick because it always seems like they exceed expectations. I'm not so sold on Memphis because it seems like they always let every Memphis fan just down in the worst possible way every year. They kind of crash and burn. But Memphis is so talented. You almost think that how can they not at least almost by accident end up as a sixth seed? I could live with this. I have a few questions about Auburn, but I do think I could actually see them ending up a little bit higher, but I wouldn't bet the house on it.
Yeah, I'm a Dorman. I've seen preseason polls with Auburn as a top 10 team, which I think are ridiculous. And North Carolina, I think you think they should have been a couple lines higher than this also.
I do, and while we're on the ACC with Auburn, I actually have Tennessee ahead of Auburn. I think Tennessee brings back enough and has some
I did have Tennessee on the four line, actually. So,
I'm sorry. I totally you're correct. I am sorry. So I actually agree with that. Memphis is loaded with talent. They are just if Penny can put this together, and it might take a few months, Memphis has all the talent to go to the Elite Eight, the Final Four. But like Greg said, there's always heartbreak somewhere along the way, and somehow they'll get knocked out on a crazy game.
And Chad, I do want to clarify, I overlooked Memphis. I had Memphis on the five line. I forgot that the Bonnies were so low that there was another team mixed in. So I would have had Memphis at five, just to be clear.
Okay. Again, it's just Memphis. I just don't know where to do with them, and
I kind of
stuck them at six. I thought that was a good place for teams you just don't know what to do with. But Tytel, let me show you the seven seeds here. We've got BYU, Arkansas, USC, and Texas Tech.
Duke, Arkansas. That reminds me of a championship level Final Four type game several years ago. I would have loved to see Villanova USC last year when USC had Evan Mobley and his whole crew and a healthy Colin Gillespie. Texas Tech, congratulations on getting to play Purdue in Indianapolis. looks like a nice little line with some very tasty matchups.
Okay. You like them, Rocco. You like them also?
Well, you look at three of these teams, we're playing a little catch up here. So I actually have BYU, Arkansas, and Texas Tech all on the sixth line, all three of them. And USC, I have them in the tournament, but just barely. I definitely don't have them anywhere near this seed line.
Well, let me ask our other Pac-12 guy here, then Dorman. USC, are they overrated here on the seven line?
No, I don't think so. I had them on the eight, so I can't really knock the selection there. So they're right about where I had them.
All right.
A quick point of note here. They're in the same region as Gonzaga. That is now allowed. The top three teams do not have to be in different regions anymore.
That is a lot. Yeah, it is a lot for Gonzaga and BYU to be the same region. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, USC and Gonzaga in the same region. Who cares?
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I mean, I said BYU. It just sounded like I said yes.
Okay. Griggs, let me stick with you. I'll pick up the eight line here. Our potential second round matches for the one seeds. And there are the Arizona Wildcats.
Wow. I know why you brought me into this one.
Drake, Oklahoma, and Florida.
I like it. In fact, I kind of like Drake maybe the most out of this line. I think this is a really good team. They're a real good defensive team. And when you look at their schedule, I think the OVC is going to provide them with the quality they need to be wearing white in the round of 64. They got some pretty decent games out of conference as well. And I think it's within their ability to get up that high. I love it.
I'll tell you what, let me go to both our Arizona guys. Dorman, you first. Do your Wildcats belong in the field even? And 8C to Gonzaga,
We've seen the Gonzaga Arizona before in the tournament. I don't have Arizona this high. If they get in, I think they'll sneak in at the very end. But the Pac-10, again, is weak. They should be able to really beat anyone not named UCLA, USC, and Oregon. So there is wins to be had. They have some out-of-conference game like Michigan, which would give them some something to show on the paper. But I don't have Arizona this high. And I am with David Griggs on Drake. I love the Valley this year. The top team, I agree, will be wearing white this year.
Tytel, I don't think you think Arizona even belongs in the field. They're an eight seed in your NIT, I believe. But maybe I should ask you about Oklahoma and Florida. Do I have those right at least?
I'm the only one who's low on them, so maybe I'm the one who's wrong. No, I think Oklahoma is interesting. A new coaching change after Lon Kruger left. And Florida's got a ton of guys coming back. I still don't think Keontae Johnson, I'm pretty sure he's not ready now. I'm not sure if he's ever going to be ready. If he is, he can transform that team into a team capable of beating a one seed. Yeah, I think that you're not doing many favors by having Tommy Lloyd play Mark Few in Portland, though.
He'd have to get through his nine seed first. Rocco, here are the nines: Colorado State, St. John's, Maryland, and Louisville.
All right, we're going to have to break this down piece by piece.
I'm getting crushed here.
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah. So Colorado State, I have exactly a nine.
St. John's?
I have the Johnnies also in the tournament, but I got them squeezing in as an 11. So I'm mostly good with that. Maryland, I have an eight, so we're pretty close. And Louisville, I have a nine as well. So we're actually pretty close. Real quick comments on the eight line. I have Oklahoma nowhere near the tournament. I think it'll take Porter Mosier a couple of years to get into the tournament with that roster he has this year. But I do mostly agree with Florida. I have Arizona at seven. And I do like Drake, and I don't want to say anything bad about the Valley, so I'm just going to leave it at that.
All right, I'll tell you what.
Hey, Chad, what do you like about the Johnnies that much?
I'm looking at them really as our third best Big East team here.
Okay.
Are we not? Well, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, they might. I just never thought of them as being in on the first ballot. But
first of all, the first ballot teams are basically your top eight lines. So it's not quite a first ballot team, but it's borderline first ballot, I guess.
Yeah.
Dorman, let me bring you back in here, the 10 seeds. I've got Michigan State, Belmont, West Virginia, and Northern Iowa. And that Belmont pick, I love this Belmont team. They are my auto bid winner, so it's not that large bid, but I think they're that good to get a little bit above that 11-12 line.
I agree with you. They got great shooters. They're really well coached. They're going to be tested in the conference. There's some talent there, and I can't think of the top of my head, but they have some nice out-of-conference games too. And there is Sparty. I have Sparty a little higher in that 8-9 game, but they are young and they are inexperienced. So I can see why you got them at 10. West Virginia, Huggy Bear, he'll have them ready. They'll be playing tough defense all year long, and I got them right. I had them at 11, and I got no problem with that. And back to the Valley, which I am a big fan of, there's Northern Iowa. I believe that's our second team in the field from the Valley. We'll see how many get there, but I got no problem with any of those four teams on the 10 line.
Yeah, I really like the Valley this year, and I don't think there's that runaway team that's going to be way up in the top half of the field, really easily in the top half of the field. But here is Drake and Northern Iowa very close to each other in the rankings.
Right. Getting back to Belmont's schedule, it's almost set up to get them about to this line because it's full of decent teams out of conference that aren't great. Like, you're not going to be like high in the rankings or in a protected seed range, but they open up at Ohio, and that might not sound like a big deal to most casual fans, but that is a massively important game. This is a really good Ohio team that will likely win upwards of 90% of their games at home. Belmont is probably good enough to go in there and win. And if they do, that's a big deal. They go to LSU. They have a neutral floor game against Drake, who's already in the field. They go to St. Louis. And then in conference, I don't know if they'll run the table in conference. Like, they might slip up in one or two games, but I think they'll certainly run away with it and be solidly in the 10 range.
Yeah. Now, should they lose in the conference tournament, I don't know that they still make it in here. This is still the top. This is the top end of the bubble here at the 10 line. So, but let's take a look at the 11 line. And Tytel, let me bring you back in here. I've got Colorado in. I know some of us don't like them. I've got my second A-10 team here, Richmond. I got the Gales and I got Vatek.
Love the Memphis-Richmond game for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's the youth movement of Penny Hardaway versus Richmond, who has 10 seventh year seniors coming back.
Yeah, so that's going to be a nice battle on that team.
Youth versus experience. As far as the other ones, nothing jumps out. I'm still not sure about the Heels, only because you know my love of first year coaches, and Hubert's got some guys in Chapel Hill, but I don't know enough about St. Mary's to know. Although Randy Bennett's been there for a long enough time that if anybody knows how to beat a team that's coming in fresh, it's him.
Yeah, Rocco, I was not going to put three West Coast Conference teams in until we did our West Coast Conference preview. You talked me into putting the Gales in right here.
Yeah, I think I love the makeup of their team. You know, they have a lot of experience. Johnson comes back from injury, is their best athlete. And you get Sharunas Marshallonis, his son, over from Europe. I mean, the kid is going to – I think he's going to be dynamite. So we'll find out pretty quick. But they already have enough, even if he can't really contribute much this year. So I like that choice. I like that you dropped Virginia Tech a little lower than probably most have them. I did a lot of digging on them from last year. They were avoiding games at the end of the year to stay in the tournament. I didn't like that. but, you know, I respect the heck out of Coach Young there. So I think it's safe to put them on the 11. The one I do have an issue here with, though, Chad, is Colorado. I don't really have them near making the field this year. Just a lot of inexperience. They do get two monster home games with Kansas and Tennessee visiting, the number one rated KenPom home court advantage there in Boulder. But even if they win one or two of those games, I think I know you guys, a couple people have said the Pac-12 is down. I tend to look at it a little differently. I think the bottom of the Pac-12 is stronger than almost any other power league. Cal's probably the worst team, maybe UW, but there's still talent to get into the top 100 for all 12 teams. And I think that just makes some tough road trips, especially the way the Pac-12 schedule works with your two-game swings, Thursdays and Saturdays. So, but Colorado, I don't have in the top.
Well, but Rocco, wouldn't that then put our fourth team from the Pac-12? Wouldn't that put a fourth team in right around this range? maybe it's not right Colorado. Maybe it's not Colorado. Maybe there's a different Pac-12 team, but I was kind of looking at Colorado in this fourth spot. And so that's where, how they ended up here for me. I mean, we're right above the first four at this point. Yes. In fact, Griggs, actually, I just only put up one of the 12 seeds so far. This is a team that I actually had ranked above the first four, and that's UAB. I do like this UAB team if they can win the double, win the Conference USA regular season title, and the conference tournament. I think that they are, you know, a little bit better than some of the first four teams.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, if they might be heading into the conference tournament sort of inside the bubble and being in a situation where they may not even need to win it. They just need to avoid a loss to an atrociously bad set your head on fire team, which the CUSA does have some of those.
It seems to always happen in CUSA tournament that a bad loss happens. So, but I do like this UAB team. That's why I just wanted to call them out very briefly. I'd have them with Ohio State. Dorman, let me go back to you. Reveal the first two of our first four teams. They are going to be in the South region matching up against Houston. It is the winner of a Texas A&M Nevada game.
Wow. I don't have either team in the tournament, but they're not far off. There's about 20 teams I have that could all be right now switched into these last few spots. I don't have A&M. I don't have Nevada, but I also don't have Colorado. They lost everything, their heart and their soul, that team. And that was a great team last year, but no, I do not have A&M or Nevada in, but it wouldn't surprise me if at the end of the year they are in, because there's a scramble here for these last few spots.
Yeah, Tytel, let me show you who UConn is going to be playing. That's the other first four game winner.
Hartford?
It is the winner of a Missouri State, Third Valley team against Jim Boeheim and Jim and all of his children.
Yes, love it. You know that the entire world is cheering for a UConn-Syracuse game. Maybe they'll bring in Jim Calhoun to sit on the bench against Boeheim, but that would be tremendous in upstate New York, up in Buffalo, where there's a bunch of Syracuse fans, I believe.
Yes, I would be for Missouri State in that one. Nothing against Syracuse, but like in looking at that bracket, yeah, I could see Syracuse going to the Final Four.
they've done that same thing before.
They've done it before. Like,
That is all the at-large teams. The rest of them we're going to be revealing in terms of in the bracket there is going to be auto bid winners. But let me just quickly throw out here. I'm going to throw out the first top four teams out also. They were at Rocco. They were, for me, were Mississippi State, Rutgers, Wichita State, and Providence. I'm sure that you probably have one or more of those in, and there's probably a few other teams. So who did I miss? And you want to make the case for any of these or anybody else?
Yeah, so I mostly agree with those. I have those teams really close as well and missing, except for Providence. Did get into one of my last four spots as of now, a little bit aided by the Oklahoma State news, I'll add. But, you know, the ones that I think stand out the most, I'm pretty high on what Mike Woodson's been able to do at Indiana. I think we talked about that a lot in the Big Ten show. I've got them all the way up on the 7 line. They have a ridiculous roster, and I think, you know, I do like what I see there. I like them more than Michigan State. I like them a little better than Maryland at this point. Obviously, we have a long way to go. So that would be the first team I'd call out. And, okay, and I also,
prediction on that is if Indiana makes it to the 7 line, their fans are going to be very dissatisfied, and they will be making a coaching change.
That's probably true. I would also throw, I don't know how many you want me to name, Chad, but I would throw next Notre Dame. You know, we talked about them a lot. I have them as a tournament team. And I also, Arizona State is my fourth place Pac-12, so I do have them making it. And that's mainly Maurice Jack, you know, Marion Jackson coming over from Toledo is the X factor for me. I love him.
Dorman, what about you? Is there anybody else that you want to call me out for? Same thing.
I have Wichita State in, and I'm high in Notre Dame. I agree with the guys there. I think Bray will get this turned around this year. I know everyone says the seat is hot. I think Notre Dame will show something this year. Bray will get the guys on the right track. And I also think that Connecticut-Syracuse game in the 5-12 in the East would absolutely be fantastic.
In Buffalo on top of that, yeah.
In Buffalo on yeah. top of it. Sensational. That would be great.
Yeah, Tito, how about you? Anybody else you want to call me out on?
I will call you out on Xavier. So first of all, to make sure I'm not losing my mind, I don't see Xavier on the board, correct?
Or not on the board.
Okay. Correct. So the reason I think they should be somewhere, not necessarily like a top 8 seed, of course, is that number one, the schedule is manageable. Ohio State will be tough, but the rest of the non-conference schedule is doable. Number two, so many seniors coming back. Nate Johnson, Paul Scruggs, Ben Stanley, Adam Kunkel, and then as a junior class, everybody's favorite nickname, Zach Fremantle, a.k.a. Big Frosty. Travis Steele, fourth year as his coach, was an assistant to Chris Mack at Xavier, so learned some good lessons. And I just think that they have enough there with senior leadership and a good coach and a manageable schedule that they're going to fight their way in somehow.
Yeah. Griggs, I'm actually going to throw up here the also considers a whole bunch of other teams that were okay. on my list. And actually, the next team up, my fifth team overall, fifth team out would have been Notre Dame. So they were right there for me. I also looked at Seton Hall, Loyola, Chicago, SMU, Xavier, Indiana, Miami, even Oregon State, San Francisco, NC State, Louisiana Tech, Butler, Washington State, Central Florida. So I looked at a lot of teams here.
Yeah.
One team I did look at was Oklahoma State. We didn't mention it earlier, but the news came out today that they are ineligible for the NCAA tournament, so they got thrown off of this list. But Griggs, anybody else that you think I may have missed from these teams or that should have been in?
Not anything in particular that really comes to mind. I am kind of curious. A team that I think that you need to look at, and I know I say this every year, is out in the Summit League. I really like South Dakota State. That's more of a hunch, though. At least to be also considered. I don't think they should be in the field, but they're definitely a team that's worth watching. And I think that that's another example of the top half of that league being good enough to maybe push.
I'll have to tell you, they will be in this field because they were my auto bid winner out of the Summit League. So okay. We just haven't shown them yet.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's a fair point. They probably fell ahead of some of the teams that are on there. It's just that we haven't seen their name called yet. But yeah. I did like them. And, we had been talking about this really for the past 3 or 4 weeks. You've got, by my count, 1, 2, 3 teams inside the bubble that are from under the radar conferences. I think that might be what we see this year. There's going to be some of those teams that get in. I think you're going to see more than what you typically see.
Actually, got four, three Valley.
Oh, you got four. Yeah.
Three okay, teams four. And Belmont.
Yeah.
Actually, five if you want to throw in UAB even. So,
So it's five. Yeah. I think that's about right.
I did throw the last 12 seed up there also. This is below the first four. I do have Buffalo as my last 12 seed. They'd be the matchup with Virginia. Let's just go quickly through the rest of this bracket, though. Rocco, let me show you my 13 seeds.
And we spent an hour and a half talking about these teams last night. So if you feel like we're not giving their due diligence, watch the under the radar.
But the South Dakota State team that David Griggs just mentioned, along with Liberty, Vermont, and New Mexico State, I have there on the 13 line.
Yeah, I would agree with probably Liberty and New Mexico State. South Dakota State probably there as well. It just depends. Like Griggs already covered it in terms of the Jacks and their schedule. They have a big event that they're going to basically be hosting with UW and Nevada and George Mason coming to town. And it's a full round robin. They'll play all three of them. That will go a long way to see how they match up. But the last one, Vermont, I just, playing in the American East, some new guys getting broken in. I don't know if they can get up to a 13 this year.
Okay, fair enough. Dorman, just real quickly here, the 14 line, I've got UC Santa Barbara, Chattanooga, the SoCon, Georgia State from the Sun Belt, and Cleveland State out of the Horizon League.
The Cleveland State, Florida State connection. That's a good one.
It is good.
Yeah.
Awesome. That would be fantastic.
Did
I like
you do
the
that
Santa
on purpose,
Barbara
Chad?
Team.
Yeah, you did.
I like the Santa Barbara team. I think they come out of the Big West. I think they're well coached from that Arizona lineage and would be a fun game versus Kentucky and Chattanooga, Georgia State. I got no qualms. I was debating them and a few others in their conferences, but I lean right with you, Chad. I have no qualms at all.
The 15 line. Let's see here. Tytel. We've got Southern Utah. Then we have Rick Pitino versus Coach K in the Iona Duke game. Northeastern and Colgate as well in this line.
The fantastic coaching matchup, Chad. I don't know if you planned that or if it just was a happy accident, but I love it. And as a huge Matt Langel fan at Colgate, fellow Penn alum, again, you're killing me by having him play Purdue in Indianapolis, but I understand that you got to do what you got to do.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be ironic if Pitino ended Coach K's career?
Oh, God. Yes, it certainly would be.
Rocco, the one team that you're probably going to tell me is missing is Yale is our Ivy League champion. I just can't get them above the 16 line. It was tough, but I like all these other teams better. I do have Yale on the 16 line. I actually have Texas Southern avoiding the first four and getting an interesting matchup at Fort Worth with Texas. My other four teams, Wagner, Morgan State, Campbell, and Nichols.
Yeah, so perhaps if Texas Southern, you know, they'll play in a heck of a gauntlet road schedule going into SWAC play. If they knock a couple teams off, they'll probably avoid the first four. So I kind of like that. Yale, hard for me. I know the Ivy League didn't play last year. And if anybody wins it besides Yale or Harvard, they're probably going to be a 16. But I do think Yale would probably be better than that. I guess we'll see. The other ones I think are falling into place. Campbell probably would be more of a 15, I guess would be my only bone to pick. But we're splitting hairs, basically.
All right. Real quick, now that we've got the full bracket up here, just on this bracket itself, at least, any other thoughts on it, Tytel?
So I'm going to go with something you must have against Mark Pope at BYU because you're killing this guy. So first round, he's going to face Tom Izzo. Second round, he's going to face Bill Self. Third round, he's going to face John Calipari. And then his reward is that after losing to Gonzaga probably three times in 3 months, he gets to face Mark Few again in San Francisco. Why are you hating Mark Pope, Chad?
I thought I was being nice, putting them in the West region. They're a West team. Dorman, how about you?
Again, I have Iona as about a 13 or 14 seed, but that team has talent. And wow, would that be a showdown with Pitino and Coach K there right out of the bat in Greenville, South Carolina. Illinois, UCLA, and what would that be? The Final Eight would be two of maybe the best five teams in the country. Everything else looks great to me. I really Florida State Purdue would be a defensive battle, and I like what you put together here, Chad. Really good job.
Yeah, thanks. I kind of made it up at the last minute, but I just had a little bit of work on it. Rocco, how about you?
Yeah, and I'll agree with that last point from Dorman. I think I haven't finished my full bracket process, so it's good to get a quick visual of all the cities and nice reminder that the tournament's coming here to San Francisco. So I hopefully will be a part of that. But anyway, I would say in general, pretty good job. You know, this year out of any year, with all the age, you know, we have so many sixth, even seventh year seniors, 23, 24 year old men that are on other teams besides BYU, get in college basketball this year. And so it is making it incredibly unpredictable. I think we're going to see battles across almost all these conferences that are unpredictable. There's going to be teams we're not talking about now that end up in the at-large pool. And to me, that's just super exciting. Two that stood out that we didn't mention yet that I have pretty close to making it but still out are LSU. I know that they lost Adam Miller for the year, but I still think they have a lot of scoring and they should be bubble-ish. And then I got to give credit to our guys here in the WCC, a team that owned San Francisco last year. That'd be Loyola Marymount. Keep your eye on the Lions. They're going to be real strong. Could knock some teams off.
Okay. Griggs. Just on the bracket that we saw.
Yeah. When you look again, and there's nothing unusual about this. We say this every year, when you look at those 12 and 13 lines and you're like, man, those are strong lines. And you almost think if they were playing somebody on the 8, 9, or 10, you'd almost pick them to win. I know we haven't seen anybody play yet. It could get turned upside down. It will. There's a team that there's probably about 15 or 20 teams that are going to make the tournament that would sound preposterous if we were to put them in right now. That's sort of the fun of the season. But I, in just looking at this, I know we say this every year to a point, but it feels like it's more the case this year. To follow up on what Rocco just said, there are just a lot of good teams out there this year. A lot of the times, there's a lot of teams that have the ingredients that you need to get to the tournament, of a lot of key players coming back and the addition of good transfers and good recruits. I think we've seen that more this year than we have any other year by far, because and it's because of the COVID regulation. So it should be a really fun season. And you left out San Jose State, by the way.
I'm going to go ahead and pull the screen share down here, actually. What I want to do here is give one more chance. I want to throw each of you here. I want to throw two questions at you. Now that we've completed all of our preseason podcasts, I want to ask each of you, who are your Final Four going to be, and who's your national champion going to be? And then, additionally, any other final thoughts you want to have as we head towards the start of the season? Tytel, why don't we start with you?
Let's see. Final Four. We got to put the Zags in there. I'm not sold on Michigan just yet, just because they got these amazing freshmen. Hopefully by March they'll be good, but I need to see them a little more. I like Kansas a lot. They bring back so many guys. I guess UCLA, they bring back a lot of guys too. And I like Villanova. So let's see, Gonzaga, Kansas, UCLA, Villanova. Big shocker, John. As far as a champ, if Few hasn't done it yet, I don't know that he'll ever do it, but he lost a couple guys in key pieces in Suggs and Kispert. So I don't think it's his year. I think it might be UCLA's time, not just because I'm a Pac-12 guy. I hate UCLA as an Arizona fan. But Corona can coach. He got him back there. They were this close last year. I think he might get him over the hump this year.
Okay. We've got to vote for UCLA to win it all here. Dorman, how about you? What are you at?
I'm also on UCLA to the Final Four. I don't like it as an Arizona fan, but I'm a big Cronin fan, and they bring back the starting five and the top bench guys. They're just loaded. Rounding out my other three spots, I got Gonzaga, Villanova, Purdue, and like I said, UCLA. I think Purdue will be through the gauntlet of the Big Ten, well-tested, and I think they got a chance to finally get to a Final Four. So I got Gonzaga, Villanova, Purdue, UCLA, and I'll go with Gonzaga to win it.
Vote for the Zags to win it. All right. Any other final thoughts also?
I'm with the guys. I think there's just going to be a ton of upsets this year, not just when we get to March, but come these early season tournaments, when these big power schools go to what the so-called mid-majors, look for a lot of these teams to get upset. They do not have the experience. The Kentuckys, the Dukes, the North Carolinas, they don't have the experience that some of these other schools do that bring back six, seven guys that have been in the program for 3-4 years now. So I think there'll be upsets galore, not just in March, but coming up real soon, starting next week.
Right. Yeah. And Tytel, I think I cut you off. Did you have any other final thought as well?
You would think so, but to be honest, my dad's birthday is tomorrow, so I'm just going to go and wish him a happy birthday.
Happy birthday to your dad. Actually, it's my sister's birthday today, so happy birthday to her too. Rocco.
Yeah, obviously tough to pick without knowing what the bracket's going to look like. But the four teams that I could easily see getting there is Alabama. They're a team that, you know, is just scratching the surface with Oates. They got to the Sweet 16 last year. Really brutal loss to UCLA late. Another team that lost late brutally to UCLA, Michigan, will be a second team that I have in the Final Four. I think those losses bring those coaches and team with enough coming back on each hungry to go a step further this year. And I think that'll be a motivating factor throughout the tournament. I think also Texas is a team. I don't per se have them on a one line like you, Chad, or probably not even on the two line to start the year, or maybe even to finish the year. But I do think they're going to be really, really solid by the time we get to March Madness. And I see them making the Final Four probably as like a three seed. And then I don't know how I got here, but I guess I'm going with UCLA to win it all.
You know, I was just sitting here and you just rounded off three teams here in Alabama, Michigan, and Texas making the Final Four that nobody else had picked yet before you. And all three of them are in my Final Four picks as well. So I'm with you. I love NATO. I've got Gonzaga, Michigan, Texas, and Alabama as my Final Four. I have You know, maybe this is the John Tytel special here too. He does not like first year coaches and coach in the first year at their school. We all know that Steve Fisher was at the school for six games when he won a national championship at Michigan.
That's right.
And so I actually have his Michigan team, the team that school, Michigan, at least in the national championship game. I have them losing there though to the Texas Longhorns. That's my national champion. Despite the first year, I'm going with Texas to win it all over Michigan, the Zags and Bama in the Final Four.
You just really like Texas. Oh, well, I mean,
I don't like Texas. I like Chris Beard a lot.
Yeah. I mean, he's a fantastic coach with a fantastic roster. It's not a nonsensical pick. You're wrong. I mean, I'm about to tell you what's really going to happen.
Tell me what's really going to happen.
Well, I mean, like everyone else, I have Gonzaga back in the Final Four. My other three, nobody had. And the first one is going to make sense why nobody else had them. I really think this Florida State team, with their unique roster buildup, if they can get the right matchups, the way that as long as they are, as good as they've been in the tournament, and as good as they've been in the regular season, getting protected seeds in the coaching, I think they could be sort of a surprise Final Four team. Another team I really like, and a lot of it's coaching. And I think people forget that this was a team that was on the two line last year and everybody's back. They just remember the one game that they lost. I think Ohio State goes, with Chris Holtmann, all that experience back from a year, you know, following up a fantastic year. And my fourth team, I hate to do it. I really do. But with the experience that they have, albeit not together, and while it didn't happen last year, it normally does. Kentucky typically does gel and is going at about 100 miles an hour come around January. I think Kentucky goes.
And so who wins it all?
Gonzaga.
All right. Any other thoughts, David? Griggs?
No, I am out of thoughts.
Okay. I guess on that note, I think that's it for our preseason. Again, you want to check out any other podcasts, any other previews, interviews, recaps, whatever else, it's all up there in the season preview tab. But on behalf of John Tytel, David Dorman, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. I think we'll probably be doing one podcast next week, and then we'll be going into a Hoops HD report and Under the Radar report every week thereafter as the season goes along. So keep an eye on the website. Tweet at us at Hoops HD, and talk to you again real soon.